This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf.
So I just Googled you because I have never heard you on The Score. You aren't the guy of your same name who is a Syrian businessman and cousin of the vicious evil dictator of Syria, are you? Either way, you're doing great.
He must have been some dictator.
He was a very bad dictator.
Yes, very bad.
Even if I'm that guy, I'm doing a great job. Well, I'll tell you, thank you. And no, I'm not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me, you're not that guy.
Although I have had to convince the government of that on one or two occasions to get my name off of watch lists.
The FBI and CIA both have you on a shoot to kill watch list. You have to tell me where you are.
Every time I'm going through an airport, man, they're definitely going to pull me aside because of this, dude. But nope, hasn't happened in an airport yet. It's caused me a few problems, never in an airport.
On Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I'm not him, and I appreciate the kind words, sir. Thank you.
That's me, Rami Makhlouf. Not that Rami Makhlouf, the other Rami Makhlouf you heard here Wednesday night on 670 The Score, and I'm back tonight with Tyler Buterbaugh on the ones and twos and promoting up this fine program. Everybody's walking around saying, I'm him. I'm him. I'm walking around telling people I am not him. That is not me. I'm not him. Just so we're all clear, I am not him. Coming up on the show this evening, Mark Potash, Bears Chicago Sun-Times writer. He'll join me at 6:20 to talk some Bears. Obviously, we'll look ahead to those Atlanta Falcons with Carlos Medina of 106.3 FM down in Atlanta. My buddy, comedian Joe Kilgallen, who you've heard on the Lawrence Holmes House of L podcast network, as well as on the Let's Get Dumb podcast. He'll join me at 7:40. And Mike McGraw, Bulls beat writer for the Daily Herald, he'll join me coming up at 8:20 to get the latest on your Chicago Bulls here on your home for Bulls basketball, 670 The Score. But I wanted to start off this evening talking about what most people in Chicago sports, whether into a microphone or just in a bar or just out wherever, are talking about with 2 weeks left in the season, and that's Justin Fields. And this guy continues to be the topic of discussion, and is he him? As I was saying at the start of the show, is Justin Fields him when it comes to the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears? And I don't expect the Bears to show their hand when it comes to Justin Fields. It does them no good to show their hand when it comes to Justin Fields, especially if they are indeed not sure and on the fence about this guy. But my question is, and open to your calls, texts, 312-644-6767 this evening. I'll try and squeeze a few in before we talk with Mark Potash of the Sun-Times coming up at 6:20. But have you made your mind up about Justin Fields? We can show our hand as fans, as members of the media, which I am both. We can show our hands and answer that question. Have you made your mind up about Justin Fields? And if not, what is it that you need to see in these next 2 weeks, starting with Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons? 312-644-6767. I don't understand how you could be undecided on Justin Fields and have these next 2 weeks decided for you. Like, if you're just not sure about Justin Fields, I get that. You know what I mean? And kudos to you if you're willing to admit it, because not too many people are willing to walk around going, I don't know. Like, we all want to know and have opinions. But it's okay every once in a while to just go, yeah, man, I don't know. I'm not totally sure about whether or not this guy is the guy or not. So if you're just not sure and you're not going to be sure in these next two games, I guess I understand that. But to be unsure and think that these next 2 weeks are gonna answer the question or crack the code when it comes to Justin Fields, that seems crazy to me. So have you made your mind up about Justin Fields? And if not, What are you looking to see in these next two games? 312-644-6767. For me, not being sure about Justin Fields is like, and not to get political here, all right? But it's like not being sure who you're going to vote for president in 2024. Like, these couldn't be more opposites in terms of the two candidates who we know we're going to end up with. And let's stop the charade. We know which two candidates we're going to end up with. And we know what they both can do. They've both been there and done the job already. Whichever one you like, or neither, or both. Like, we've seen them both do the job. It's not like hypotheticals and policies that they're just throwing into the air. You know what? We know how they're going to do the job. And that's kind of how I feel about Justin Fields. Not to say that there aren't still some question marks. And I really hope that there's some room for growth and improvement, because he's not there yet. But I think by this point, we have enough of a sample size to know kind of who this dude is and where this thing is heading. And I, for one, I'm in on Justin Fields. Now, I get this being a very tough decision for the Chicago Bears, especially having the number one pick in the draft. That makes it even tougher, because you have your choice of quarterback with that number one pick, which will be locked in if the Houston Texans lose one more game. You have your choice of the top of whatever quarterback you want at the top of the NFL draft, and that does make the decision a little bit tougher. Well, a lot of bit tougher when it comes to what the Bears are going to do at quarterback. But for me, I'm in on Justin Fields. And a lot of people with these last six, seven games have sort of backed off of Matt Eberflus, excuse me, a little bit. I think a lot of people are still not sold on him as a head coach. So a lot of people have backed off of Ryan Poles. I talked about that a little bit on Wednesday, but there's still a lot of heat on Justin Fields. And for some reason, the last six, seven games did a lot to cool the seats of Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, but not so much with Fields. And if we're just going on the last six, seven games, and you go back and you look at Justin Fields' performance in that time, I'll go back to the Denver game, conveniently enough. That's seven games back. 335 yards in that game. 282 the following week against Minnesota. Came back after an injury with 217 against Minnesota. 223 against Detroit. Couple of duds in terms of his passing yardage and passing stats in the last two games. 166 against Cleveland. 170 against Arizona. But I don't think that tells the whole story. A, it shows a lot of improvement, and B, I don't think it tells the whole story, because Justin Fields is not just a quarterback. I was watching, I think it was Get Up this morning, might have been First Take. They're all the same. They all have the same people on them asking the same questions. But Ryan Clark said something about Lamar Jackson that I think applies to Justin Fields. And not just because they're similar style of quarterbacks with the athleticism and the feet and the speed and the size and everything else. But just when you look at quarterbacks in general, Justin Fields, just like Lamar Jackson, he makes things happen that aren't there for almost any other quarterback in this league. And what he said about Lamar Jackson is he makes plays every week that would be negatives that he turns into a positive. That's a huge thing to have, man. That extends drives. That kills clock. That gets you out of jams when your offense is stuck. That's a huge thing to have. And I think that if they just looked at Justin Fields more as an offensive weapon than they do as a quote-unquote quarterback, that you'd be looking through this thing through a completely different prism. He's got just over 2,100 yards this year. He's completing almost 61% of his passes. Both of those numbers need to go up, and both of those numbers have gone up in every year that he's played in the NFL with very little help, might I add. with two complete throwaway years under Matt Nagy in the first year of Poles and Eberflus, and then the first year, the first year under Poles and Eberflus of them sort of kicking the can and waving the white flag on that season. He keeps getting better. He's only thrown 9 interceptions this year, didn't throw an interception for damn near 2 months, and then threw 2 in the Cleveland game that were both on Hail Marys, and one of them wasn't even caught and shouldn't have been an interception in the first place. And an 84.5 passer rating in 11 games this season. I'll take that, man. I will take that. I just ask that the Bears help him out and the Bears do right by Justin Fields for once. Because if you're going to bring in, I made this point on Wednesday, if you're going to bring in Caleb Williams or Drake May or any of these other guys that are projected to be top quarterbacks in this draft, if you don't do it right, if you don't give them the help and the support that they need to succeed and to grow and to develop, it won't matter. There's not a quarterback that is franchise proof in this draft or any other draft. They need to be given the support that they need to grow and develop and get better and win. And Justin Fields just hasn't had that. So if you're going to do it right, let's try to do it right just once with Justin Fields before we move on to somebody else and either do it right or do it wrong with them. And if you do it wrong with them, it will not matter.
Take Bryce Young as for an example.
Exactly.
He's got nothing over there.
Nothing. And people thought he was, except for the size, that was a question.
Right.
People thought he was kind of a can't-miss prospect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
When we talk about C.J. Stroud, I drew a blank on C.J. Stroud. How do I do that? With C.J., he wasn't projected to be this, to be the dude coming out of this draft. You know what I mean? He wasn't ever going to be the number one pick. That wasn't something that a lot of people talked about.
I honestly thought of him being better than Bryce Young. Like, I figured he was going to go first overall just because, I mean, with his talent, what he had did over in Ohio State. But, I mean, like you said, no one expected him to, let alone easily be in the offensive rookie of the year talks, but let alone MVP talks
and having them in the thick of the playoff race.
Exactly. You never know what's going to come out of these quarterbacks.
312-644-6767. Have you made your mind up on Justin Fields? If not, what do you need to see? Real quick, I did want to play this soundbite. This was Matt Eberflus earlier today. With this Sunday possibly being Justin Fields' last game at Soldier Field, should they decide to move on from him, he was asked if he has a favorite memory of Justin Fields as his quarterback.
Do you have a moment, this big picture, but like of your relationship with Justin that you're most proud of, either of the growth that the two of you have made together, or a moment you're most proud of him from the last 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say one moment, I don't know if I could pick that out. I wish I could, but he's just being consistent, just being where his feet are, being positive, and then just getting back to work.
Okay. Just real quick. I'm going to get to your calls and your texts in just 1 second. But, and this segment is meant and set aside to talk about Justin Fields, and that's what we're going to do in just 1 second. But I'm not a big Matt Eberflus guy. And there's a few reasons why. First of all, just his in-game decisions. That's the most important thing. But then there's I think that charisma is a requirement to be a head coach or a leader of any kind. And charisma can come in many forms, like an authoritative figure, just a likable guy. You know, it can come in many forms. I don't see it in any form or fashion for Matt Eberflus. And then thirdly, have you ever seen the video, the clip of Sean McVay, where they ask him, they just give him down, distance, and time of games that he's coached throughout his career, going years back. And he'll tell you exactly what play he called and exactly what happened on that play.
He probably knows the weather of that day, too.
Probably. And that's the type of genius I want running my football organization. I don't want a guy who you ask him for a memory and he goes, guys, I can't come up with one right now.
Our culture is awesome.
I can give you one. Just as soon as Tyler Buterbaugh, my producer, my fine producer this evening, played that soundbite for me, immediately my head went back to week 1, 2022, beat the 49ers. Justin Fields runs in the winning touchdown. He slides head first. He comes up. He does the Superman rip your shirt. Everybody remembers that play, right?
Moment is literally the background on my laptop.
Thank you. There are so many moments that he easily could have pulled up.
and he just, I don't know. That says, I know it shouldn't, and maybe I'm taking it too far, but that says a lot to me about the makeup, the mental makeup of Matt Eberflus. I'll just put it that way to be as nice as possible.
It was also just kind of an awkward question. I think he got thrown off. I might back him up on that just because, I mean, it was just so quick. And, if you listen to the presser before, it wasn't leaning anywhere towards Justin Fields. So I'll give him that. But
if you
yeah.
asked Sean McVay that question,
he would have had something.
He would have had five.
Yeah, exactly.
And told you about the wrinkles in his shirt that day. You know what I mean? I want a genius. I want a genius running my football team. That's what I want. I want those types of guys running my football organization. Matt Eberflus ain't that. All right, I got that off my chest. Let's go out to the phones. Let's go to Bob and Joliet. Have you made your mind up on Justin Fields, Bob?
Yeah, sort of. Hey, Rami, welcome back.
Thank you.
I love your opinionated shows.
Thank you.
I love listening to you. You stole a little bit of my thunder. Okay, so here's my point, and I just want you to comment on. And by the way, whenever any station plays replays of Eberflus or Getsy, I go to WBBM for traffic and weather. Okay, I can't stand hearing those guys. So here's my point. Okay, NFL, in my opinion, is all coaching. There's 5, 10, maybe 15 stud players that are just stud players that are just there. Just like in life, corporate America, sure. Whatever. So my point is, this is coaching. So it's coaching. We've had the lousiest coaching for years, including now, assistant coaches, head coaches, whatever. And, take a look at some of the rebuilds where they rebuild quickly. And in my opinion, it's all coaching. Look at Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. Any comments on that? Thank you.
No, I agree with you 100%. Back. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate the kind words, too. And on Wednesday when I was here, I went through all the other nine teams that changed their coach or GM in the offseason leading up to last season when the Bears hired Poles and Eberflus. And going back and looking at that list, there's really just two, maybe three of those teams that were in comparable situations, and that's Miami and Jacksonville. Because those were teams that brought in a new coach, and in one case, a new GM as well, with a quarterback still on their rookie contract who they felt they needed to develop. And you look at what Jacksonville has done to help Trevor Lawrence. You look at what Miami has done to help Tua, both in coaching and in players. But I think mostly in coaching, when you look at Mike McDaniel and you look at Peterson. Doug Peterson down in Jacksonville. Those are the types of guys. Those are proven winners. Those are guys that people around the league look at and go, yeah, that guy's sharp. That guy knows what he's doing. With Eberflus and Getsy, they were gambles. Eberflus was a first-time head coach, and Getsy was a first-time offensive coordinator and play caller who had a minimal role as far as offensive coordinators go in Green Bay, because Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers were running the show out there. Luke Getsy didn't need to do a whole lot with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers running the show. So I would like to see Justin Fields with one of those offensive genius types, or like a Sean McVay type that I was just talking about a minute ago. Frankfurt, Dave, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out, I've been a Cubs and a Bears fan my whole life, and I'm kind of done with hope. I've matured a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with this draft, we need to take that rookie contract, draft May or Williams. We'll have a stud rookie for, the next 4 or 5 years. The top 10 pick, the other pick we have, we use it on a defensive tackle. Then we're saving $40 million by not paying Fields we can use that on two offensive linemen. And then we can flip Fields and get a first or second round pick for another core receiver or tight end. I just think it's time to, you know, bear down more than ever and let's win the championship instead of hoping.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, it would be nice if this team, if you felt like this team was serious about winning and winning a championship, because it hadn't felt that way in a few years, at the very least. The last year of the the last 2 years, really, of the Nagy era, I didn't have a lot of belief or faith in this organization, that they were a serious organization about winning. And under Poles and Eberflus, they've clearly not been trying to win football games. These last 2 years have been about a teardown and a rebuild. And you expected Justin Fields to somehow flourish in that? How? How? Show me one quarterback, much less a quarterback going into their second and third year in the league, that are flourishing in the middle of a teardown and rebuild. For a head coach and an offensive coordinator who have never done it before and came in with huge question marks.
That's what cracks me up, is that people expected him to turn this team around so fast, but yet you never seen a quarterback do it on his own and do it within like 2 years that they wanted him
right
to do it.
Yeah. You got to be an absolute phenom to come into the situation that Justin Fields has been in and succeed. Honestly, what Justin Fields has done with what he's been given to work with and the environment that he's had to work in, I'm pretty impressed. I think it's pretty remarkable, quite frankly. There are a lot of weeks where I'm sitting there going, he's doing this all by himself.
He has.
Yeah, absolutely. And before DJ Moore got here, and maybe Montez Sweat, we could legitimately look at that football team and that roster and say Justin Fields is the best football player on that team. Not just on that side of the football, on that whole team. And the only reason that you won the games that you won a lot of the time. A few texts have come in, 312-644-6767. This one from the 815. I'm not sure because I don't know if it's Getsy or not. Next two games don't matter. It's more his next offensive coordinator. Look, if he gets an offensive coordinator and it's a guy who comes in with the bona fides and the credentials and that genius label that you see on the McDaniels and the McVays of the world, and he still can't do it, pull the plug. Pull the plug, fine. At least I'll know you gave it a real try. You gave it a real effort with Justin Fields, that you went and got somebody who could actually help him and put him in position to succeed. And on top of that, I think that what Ryan Poles has done in stockpiling these draft picks and being in position to trade that number one pick this year, you're going to get picks for years down the line. If Justin Fields ain't it, A, you're going to have those picks. B, you're probably going to be bad and be at the top of the draft yourself. You'll have another chance to take a quarterback in a year or two or three. And I know Caleb Williams is the flavor of the month right now, and he's Patrick Mahomes mixed with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and whoever else they're comparing him to. I know there will be guys like that in drafts of the future, I promise, who you'll be all giddy about when the Bears draft him, and then probably disappointed when the Bears do nothing to help him. And we go through this all over again.
The circle of life.
Exactly. Exactly. It is the circle of a Bears fan's life. We'll talk more Bears with Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. He joins me next. Rami Makhlouf with you on a Friday night here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm looking forward to Atlanta. Obviously a very strong opponent. You know, they've won the last 3 out of 5. You know, they're in their division hunt. For that, obviously got a very strong roster, and you know, on both sides of the ball, you know, and on defense, you know, obviously they're in the top 5, top 10 in a lot of categories on defense, and you know, Bates, their free safety, has what, 6 interceptions now, and obviously a very strong player there. They're strong at every level. Corner outside number 24 does a really good job. Linebackers are very active. D-line's very active. Obviously, you can see that in their run-stopping numbers, how they approach the game that way.
That's Bears head coach Matt Eberflus talking about their matchup with the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday. Rami Makhlouf with you on 670 The Score on a Friday evening, the eve of New Year's Eve. And joining me now to continue the Bears discussion, he covers those Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. Pleasure to welcome in Mark Potash. Mark, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm great, Rami. How are you?
Good. I was saying before the break that I understand people not being sure about Justin Fields at this point, but I don't understand people who, if you're not sure about Justin Fields, you think the next two games are going to answer any questions. Can the next two games answer any questions for you, Mark, or the Chicago Bears as an organization, do you think?
No, I think one way or another, they can only muddle it probably more than anything else. Yeah, two games, we've seen many times, even Jay Cutler has done that, where he went one year through for 8 touchdowns and 1 interception in the last two games. Everybody thought he was ready to take off, and of course he wasn't. So we've been fooled before. At this point, we've seen even more, I think, of Fields than we had of Cutler at that point. So, no, I think the die has been cast. Now it's just a question of whether the Bears either try and get an offensive coordinator who can kind of, reset him, or they can, draft a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., shore up their offensive line and try and create a support system that way that will improve his play. We know he can be good at his best, but the consistency factor is the one thing that is a problem in two games, to your question, is not going to change those issues.
Do you get a feeling for which way they might be leaning, one way or the other, whether it's to keep Justin Fields or go in a different direction?
I really don't. It's really hard to say how they think. The big factor, of course, is whether they have the number one pick or not. I mean, that could actually force their hand. You know, I was just telling somebody the other day, part of me also kind of thinks like that it might be better if Carolina wins a game, pushes them into the number two spot, and kind of forces their hand, and which would be likely to keep Fields and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and hope that he's as good as everyone says, because he's the kind of receiver who can make a quarterback out of anybody. And let the record show that Fields is not Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky needed a lot more help. Even though they have similar issues of reading defenses and kind of playing quarterback and doing some kind of instinctive things, Fields is a lot closer to being the guy who can take you into the playoffs, deeply into the playoffs. So I kind of feel like that actually they might be pushed into the right decision or maybe the wrong decision. But I guess my point is it all hinges on that number one pick. If they have the number one pick, number one overall pick, it's going to be really hard to pass on a quarterback like Caleb Williams, because, you don't want to miss that boat. And so I think that's where most everything will hinge on that. I don't think they'll have a problem. Let's put it this way. I don't think they'll have a problem staying with Justin Fields. It's not like they want to get rid of him. But if they are given a potential better option, like number one, and you could argue number two also would also do that with Drake May, then I think they're more likely to take it.
Talking with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times here on 670 Score. He covers the Bears for you on a regular basis. And you brought up one of the scenarios where I think this whole conversation about Justin Fields would be framed differently, and that's if they didn't have the number one pick. The other, Mark, and this is a big if, I understand that before I even answer the question, but if they won more football games under Justin Fields, I think we'd be having a completely different discussion. And I honestly don't know how you look at the last 3 years and think that Justin Fields is the reason that they're not winning more football games and hanging that on him and sort of pointing at that as the reason that he can't remain your quarterback.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's culpable to a certain extent. Any quarterback
sure.
is, or you know, and he does have, you know, and he does have, I guess, his numbers. Like in the fourth quarter, his just at the eye test, being that quarterback who puts the team on his back and kind of wills his way to victory, he doesn't really have very many, if any, of those. So I think you can put that on him. But on the other hand, as you kind of implied here, that there are other factors involved in that. Protection, having receivers, having good receivers, having a good offensive game plan. Not to get too far off track, but Tyson Bagent also has fourth quarter issues. He also has, when he was good, he also was stronger in the first three quarters, not as good in the fourth. Now, that seems that when both quarterbacks have that, that kind of falls on the offensive, maybe something the offensive coordinator is doing. So that argument is valid as well. I think the one factor I think that is key for Fields and also a rookie quarterback is that this defense is in shape to really be pretty good next year and give any quarterback a much better chance to win than Bears quarterbacks have had since the demise of the Vic Fangio defense. I think that's the biggest issue is, and in fact, probably what I'll be watching more for in the last two games is to see just if this defense, you know, continues to play as well and takes another step and keeps holding teams under 20 points, because the Bears finally are at a point now when they score 20, they've won four of their last five. Before this defense took the step they have, they had lost eight of their first 10 in that situation under Eberflus. And I think that's the biggest difference for the whole team and for obviously any quarterback, especially Justin Fields.
How sold are you on that defense? That was actually going to be my next question, and you expertly led me right into it, Mark, because the numbers are impressive, and you just laid some of them out right there. But when you look at some of the opponents that they've been putting up these performances against, not necessarily the cream of the crop in terms of offenses in the NFL, how sold are you on the defensive turnaround since Montez Sweat was brought in?
Well, yeah, I'm actually pretty well sold on it, to tell you the truth, because I feel like, you know, they have not been totally bum-slang like some Bears offenses and defenses have done in the past. I mean, they intercepted Jared Goff three times and got him into a rut, and now he's kind of gotten out of that, and he's pretty good again. They had Joe Flacco totally under control and then lost it, and Joe Flacco, as it turns out, 2.0 is pretty good. Yeah. So, I admit that is not, I acknowledge, that is not shutting down Patrick Mahomes by any stretch. But I think, I guess what I'm saying is, I think what they're doing is real. I think they're strong, as opposed to where they were last year, even at the beginning of this year, they're strong at all three levels with Sweat now. Their linebackers are solid. Their secondary is as strong as I think we thought it would be. And now with Sweat, I think their entire defensive line, it just changes the whole tenor of that. The only problem I have as far as looking ahead to the future with the Bears defense is that they are it's kind of a good news is bad news. They're healthy. They've been able to take advantage of teams that are not as healthy, the Bears in general and the defense in particular. And I think that's great for the Bears these last four or five games. But on the other hand, teams don't stay healthy. And so next year, you look ahead to next year, you know, what if they lose a key player? The Bears are still a team, including on defense, that they have a very small margin for error. One or two players are out, and it's a problem. So that's what they have to prove, is that they can withstand that kind of situation. We probably won't see that until next year, until they have to endure that. But for now, to answer your question, yeah, I am convinced that this defense is definitely a strong point and where they were expected to be under a guy like Eberflus. I mean, that's the one of the big reasons why everybody wanted Eberflus out, one of many reasons actually, was because he couldn't even get his side of the ball right. And mm-hmm. at midseason, that was absolutely true. But he's done that. He's fixed that problem. Now the question is he a true NFL head coach? And, you know, that's a much bigger issue that will probably have to be debated once the season's over.
Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, my guest for a few more minutes here on 670 The Score. You mentioned losing one player and what that could do to the defense. Jalen Johnson's contract situation hangs over this organization. Mark, I don't get too worried about it, because with a guy like a Jalen Johnson, if they want him back and they can't come to a contract agreement, the franchise tag is always an option and one I think they would exercise. And he's not going to turn down that money. He's going to show up and play and hope he gets the bigger contract in a year. Is that kind of how you see the situation?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just we've talked to Jalen all year about it, and he's been really good about not only just talking about it and openly expressing how he feels about it, but also in handling it, you know, so much better than kind of the way of Roquan did last year. Writing the letter he wrote and castigating the McCaskies, and it was just bad form for a really good player. He's worked himself out of that situation. Obviously, he's in a great situation in Baltimore. But Jalen's handled his situation, I think, a lot better. And also, I think Jalen, to me, just reading just what he's been saying, I think he understands. He seems to be getting it. Here's a guy who wants to be paid like the number one cornerback in the NFL, but yet he also seems to understand that his best chance to be that or become that is by staying in this defense with the way this defense is growing. And that I think he's seen, as Sweat has come on, all of a sudden his performance has improved. And I think he knows in his heart of hearts that his best bet is to stay with the Bears. It's just a question of whether they will pony up and pay him. And I kind of feel like that will happen. It's more likely to happen now. But to your original point, they always have the franchise tag. And the franchise tag, I tell you, I hate it. I think it's one of the worst things for the NFL. It creates animosity. I think it doesn't serve either the purpose that it's supposed to. It's tough for the team. It's tough for the player. But that said, Jalen Johnson seems, just talking to him now, seems one of the players who's most amicable to that situation or agreeable to that, to being in a tag situation and not holding out, causing a distraction and kind of fracturing the locker room type of thing. So I think the original point is, one way or another, I see that situation working out. I think Jalen Johnson has proven that he deserves to be paid. I think the Bears are going to be more agreeable to paying him now that they've seen what he's done, especially the way this defense is going.
Last one for you, Mark, and I'm going to circle back around to the offense. You brought up Luke Getsy a couple of times. Is there any chance that Bears fans, the media, have been too hard on this guy, or is the game plan and the play calling as bad as it feels when I'm sitting on my couch on a Sunday, Mark?
Well, that's kind of tough to say. I don't know if we've been too tough on anybody in any situation. You know, as much as we overreact, I just think you look at the performance, and when you judge what the Bears have done compared to what so many other teams have done, you know, from C.J. Stroud and Houston on down, I always point to that, because that's a team that has a similar situation as the Bears with regard to a new coach, defensive coach, an offensive line totally in flux, no receivers and all that. Look what they've done. When you look at examples like that, not only that one in Houston, but just around the league and compared to that, I think it's fair to wonder, why can't the Bears do this? And so I've written that many times, and I think many people have been wondering that. So I think the criticism has been fair. But, I mean, the question of is it the quarterback or the offense is also valid. And the answer has been from day one, has been from the time I first covered the Bears in 1997-98. It's both.
That's Mark Potash. He's been covering the Bears for a long, long time for them over there at the Chicago Sun-Times. You'll follow him on Twitter, at Mark Potash, and my guest for the last few minutes here on 670 The Score. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Mark. Have a good night and a happy new year.
Thanks, Rami. Same to you.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Quick break on the other side. I see you guys on hold. We'll get in some more of your calls on Justin Fields, and we're going to play the nickname game with Matt Eberflus. That's next on 670 The Score.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you on a Friday evening, 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the festivities. Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. Carlos Medina of 106.3 FM and the Fan 680 down in Atlanta. He'll join me coming up at 7. Excuse me, with the Atlanta side of this matchup coming up on Sunday. And in just a few minutes, we're going to play the nickname game with Matt Eberflus, who I didn't know is the king of nicknames. We'll get into that in just a few minutes if you don't know what I'm talking about. Let's get out to Sherryville, though. You heard me talking about Justin Fields, asking if you're in or out. And if you're still out, what do you need to see in these last two games? What's up?
Yo, Ken? Hey, fellas. Man, thanks for taking my call. Hey, look, I'm all in on Justin. I got a question. If John Harbaugh had Justin Fields, are we having this conversation?
No, probably not. No, if he had... No. I'll put it this way. If he had a coach and an organization and a situation I believed in, one way or another, we wouldn't have this question. Because either he'd be succeeding, or he'd be failing, and we'd all go, he had everything working for him, and he still failed. No, we know what this guy is, and we know what he's not. Time to move on. The fact is, because of the situation that the Bears put him in, Ken, we can't really say one way or another. They have themselves to blame for that.
Right, and here go another thing. Now, do Justin Fields actually audible out of Luke Getsy playboard? No, but whenever he ad-libbed,
Yeah, but he's not known for that.
Right.
But whenever he ad-lib, guess what he's doing? He making it happen. So it falls back to Lou Gehrig. So it's both the coach and an offensive coordinator. They don't know what to do with this guy. And, no, they're not the type of coaches you want on your sideline. So I'm all in, old Justin, man. To your question, it's the coaches that got to go. Who let go of Roquan and you a defensive coach? And he over there playing for a gold jacket for John Harbaugh. Are you kidding me?
Ken, thanks for the call. I appreciate you. Yeah, Roquan is one of the moves I take issue with when we talk about Ryan Poles. And the whole situation, man, like I just said, if we had an organization that we could believe in, we could look at Justin Fields and go, no, it's your fault. But the fact that we don't and he doesn't is the reason this is still a question after 3 years. And I'll tell you right now, if we still have people that we look at and go, I don't know, when they draft Caleb Williams or anybody else, it's not going to be any better. So what are we doing? Why? Unless you're going to clean out. You know what? I'm going to get into this later in the show. Let me get another call real quick before we play the nickname game. Mike in Rockford, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Mike?
Okay, thanks for you stole part of my thunder, but that's good because you're leading me into my call here with Ryan Poles and Smith, Roquan Smith. They get rid of him, and then he goes and drafts. He signs the two free agent linebackers from Buffalo and from Indianapolis. Okay, and Roquan was a better than either of those guys, in my opinion.
I
just think that Ryan Poles wants to build this whole thing under his name. Now, he goes out. Now, Montez Sweat was a great signing. I'll give him that. At first, I didn't like it, but I really do now. Obviously, Claypool was a bust, okay? But he wants to build up this entire roster. He doesn't, you know, Jalen Johnson needed to be paid before Montez Sweat was signed and signed that big deal, in my opinion. You got to take care of your own family first. But Ryan Poles came in the middle, tore the whole team down, got rid of some dead weight. He had to get rid of Cleo Mack, got rid of all those other guys, which I was all for. But I don't understand. I think he wants to get rid of Fields. I think Fields could have a really productive year, and I still think he would consider getting rid of him only because it's like I'll just hang up and listen, but I think he wants to build this entire roster under his name.
Yeah, he wants his guys.
Thank you for my call.
Appreciate your call. He wants his fingerprints, his stamp on this roster. That's been clear from day. Now, look, there was some house cleaning that needed to be done. And I laid the whole case out on Wednesday when I went through all the teams that changed coaches and GMs before the 2022 season. The teams that have been successful, and especially the two teams with young quarterbacks on rookie contracts, what they did when they came in was they assessed the roster and they went, okay, these guys who we have here can help us win. They can work. They can fit into what we're trying to do. These guys, we got to clear out. Ryan Poles had no interest in doing that. Ryan Poles just came in and was like, we're clearing everybody out, and I want only my guys in the building. Really, only Justin Fields is left when you look at this roster and major pieces that were on it when Ryan Poles came in. And to me, that's an ego thing, man. That's not like a level-headed assessment and doing what you think, taking what you think is the most prudent course. That's just your ego talking. That's just you coming in and going, nah, the last guy didn't know what he was doing at all. And look, Ryan Pace didn't know what he was doing, but I wouldn't put the at all on the back end of it. Everybody gets some right and some wrong. Ryan Pace got a few right. And I think that Ryan Poles came in and showed those guys the door purely almost out of ego. And one of the new guys that he brought in was Matt Eberflus, who I didn't know until today. Tyler, did you know until today that he was a master of the nickname? Did you have any idea that
man? I had no idea. He's the man of nicknames.
This was on the Bears' Instagram account yesterday, Matt Eberflus, before the game last Sunday.
All right, Mako. Let's go, man. Let's go. Spidey. Hey, man. Every play's your play to make. You know that. Let's go. Dragon Slayer. Woo! There he is, man. Let's get it. Let's get it. Bojack, let's go, man. Every play's your play now. Smitty, let's go, man. Every play's your play now. Sandman, you got it now.
Okay, all right.
Let's get it.
I think I get the idea. We can kill it right there. So I wanted to play a little game because a lot of those nicknames, I had never heard, and quite frankly, they don't make a lot of sense to me. So we're going to play the nickname game. I don't know who those names were assigned to. Tyler Buterbaugh does, because he watched the video closely and then edited out, isolated each name one by one. Now he's going to play them for me and for you, and I can guess and you can guess in your car or if you're at home listening at 670thescore.com and you're, or in your office on the Odyssey app. Try and guess who the nickname belongs to. It's the Matt Eberflus nickname game. What do we got first, Tyler?
Dragon Slayer. There he is, man. Let's get it.
Dragon Slayer? That's got to be somebody on the defensive side of the ball. Shot in the dark. TJ Edwards. Is TJ Edwards Dragon Slayer? Who's Dragon Slayer?
Jalen Johnson.
Really?
Yeah, oh. I didn't think that would have been him.
I would just go with a double J. You know what I mean? if
I was giving him a or JJ?
Or JJ, yeah. Either one works, but I guess he's Dragon Slayer. Who's next?
Let's go, Predator. Let's go, man. Let's get it.
Predator. Okay. I'm going to guess somebody who's got the dreadlocks, because the Predator had kind of a dreadlock thing going on. Tremaine Edmonds. Hey! All right. Okay. Tremaine Edmonds is the Predator. Who's next up, Tyler?
Hey, Dino Dex. Let's go, man.
What was that? Can you play that again? I didn't even hear.
Hey, Dino Dex. Let's go, man.
What is he saying?
Dino Dex.
Dino Dex? I don't even know what that means. Is that Dominique Robinson? Is he? I just went with a guy. Who is it? I just went with a guy whose name started with D.
Jervon Dexter.
Okay, yeah. Dino Dex. All right, I was looking for. Okay, that makes sense. Do we have another one?
Juggernaut. Let's go, man.
That's the best one. I gotta say, as somebody who grew up reading comic books, Juggernaut is the absolute best. And Juggernaut has to be somebody who's kind of stout. Do you know Juggernaut, the comic book character, Tyler? It's like a really,
Briefly, really
stout dude. Like, he's like one of those no-neck guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm thinking offensive or defensive line has got to be a Juggernaut. Give me Cody Whitehair. He's kind of built like a Juggernaut. Damn it. Who was it?
Billings.
Okay. That actually makes sense. Looking at him, that actually
After
makes
I saw,
sense.
It took me a while to see who the heck he was talking about, and I had to see. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
And do we have one more?
Let's go, Bay. Hey, Bay, let's go, man.
That's weird.
You got it now.
Wait. Wait, what? Let's go, Bay. Not that there's anything wrong with that, to quote the great Jerry Seinfeld, but is he calling another grown man Bay? Is that what I just
heard? That is unfortunately correct.
Okay. I don't even want to guess. who that might be. Who is that?
Tyson Bagent.
Okay,
that makes sense.
That does make sense.
But still weird.
It's still weird. By the way, did you know? I had no idea. A girl I dated years ago filled me in on this. She called me Bay, and I didn't know what it meant. Before anyone else. It's actually an acronym. I always thought it was like short for babe or baby.
That's what I would have thought.
Before anyone else. It's an acronym. Huh. You learn something here on 670.
Yeah, right?
Do we know who the governor is?
We do.
Who is that?
Roshan Johnson.
Why is he the governor?
That one made no sense to me.
What? A lot of guys get that nickname of the governor, and usually it's like Sean Casey was a governor. Who was the guy that played for the Bulls, and he went on to become a coach? I'm drawing a complete blank right now, but he also was a governor, and it's usually like a very, like, like, everyone likes him. You know what I mean? Like, the buddy-buddy guy. They walk around. They shake everybody's hands. Everybody knows him. Everybody likes him.
You talking about Doug Collins?
No. Blonde guy. He was the Bulls' head coach for a minute, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, man. This is going to drive me
not
crazy.
Not Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg. Oh, it was. Yes, okay. Fred Hoiberg was the governor. Or maybe he was the mayor. One of the two. Same thing, though. It's like everybody's best friend. You know what I mean? The guy who's always walking around glad-handing people. Hey, ho, hey, hey. That guy's usually the governor. Like, the guy everybody likes. He's usually the governor or the mayor. I don't know, man. The whole thing was awkward. They talked about it today on Bernstein and Holmes. And, like, the whole thing was just weird. His pronunciation of the word man.
Let's go, man.
Hey, mate. It's very forced. That's not how you talk, Matt Eberflus. I don't think. Is he from the South? I don't think he's from the South. Where's Matt Eberflus from?
I don't even. No, he's definitely not from the South.
He doesn't talk like that. What? Please, can we get a head coach? Can we please get a head coach?
He's from Toledo, Ohio.
Nobody says, let's go, man. Nobody says that in Toledo, Ohio, to my knowledge. I've never been. But I don't think people in Toledo, Ohio have that affect, if you will.
Not that I can think of. They're as Midwestern as us.
He's just so weird and awkward. A great defensive mind, I'm sure. But some guys are just not. Like I said before, you need like some charisma. You need some genius, you know, for guys to want to follow you. And I don't see either one for Matt Eberflus, quite frankly.
He's just awkward.
He is. He's just an awkward. And hey, guess what? I'm an awkward dude. I'm also not trying to be a head coach in the NFL or get 53 men to follow me. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
It takes a certain type of man. I'm not it, and neither is he. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll get the Atlanta side of things. Carlos Medina of Extra 106.3 FM and the Fan 680 down there. He'll join me next on 670 The Score.
I got nicknames for you guys, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
With you on a Friday evening, 312-644-6767 is how you can get in on the festivities. Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. Carlos Medina of 106.3 FM and the Fan 680 down in Atlanta. He'll join me coming up at 7. Excuse me, with the Atlanta side of this matchup coming up on Sunday. And in just a few minutes, we're going to play the nickname game with Matt Eberflus, who I didn't know is the king of nicknames. We'll get into that in just a few minutes if you don't know what I'm talking about. Let's get out to Sherryville, though. You heard me talking about Justin Fields, asking if you're in or out. And if you're still out, what do you need to see in these last two games? What's up?
Yo, Ken? Hey, fellas. Man, thanks for taking my call. Hey, look, I'm all in on Justin. I got a question. If John Harbaugh had Justin Fields, are we having this conversation?
No, probably not. No, if he had... No. I'll put it this way. If he had a coach and an organization and a situation I believed in, one way or another, we wouldn't have this question. Because either he'd be succeeding... Or he'd be failing and we'd all go, he had everything working for him and he still failed. No, we know what this guy is and we know what he's not. Time to move on. The fact is, because of the situation that the Bears put him in, Ken, we can't really say one way or another. They have themselves to blame for that.
Right. And here go another thing. Now, do Justin Fields actually audible out of Luke Getsy's playboard? No, but whenever but he's not known for that.
Right.
But whenever he ad-lib, guess what he's doing? He making it happen. So it falls back to Luke Getsy. So it's both the coach and an offensive coordinator. They don't know what to do with this guy. And no, they're not the type of coaches you want on your sideline. So I'm all in, old Justin, man. To your question, it's the coaches that got to go. Who let go of Roquan and you a defensive coach? And he over there playing for a gold jacket for John Harbaugh. Are you kidding me?
Ken, thanks for the call. I appreciate you. Yeah, Roquan is one of the moves I take issue with when we talk about Ryan Poles. And the whole situation, man, like I just said, if we had an organization that we could believe in, we could look at Justin Fields and go, no, it's your fault. But the fact that we don't and he doesn't is the reason this is still a question after 3 years. And I'll tell you right now, if we still have people that we look at and go, I don't know, when they draft Caleb Williams or anybody else, it's not going to be any better. So what are we doing? Why? Unless you're going to clean out. You know what? I'm going to get into this later in the show. Let me get another call real quick before we play the nickname game. Mike in Rockford, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Mike?
Okay, thanks for you. Still part of my thunder, but that's good because you're leading me into my call here with Ryan Poles and Smith, Roquan Smith. They get rid of him, And then he goes and drafts. He signs the two free agent linebackers from Buffalo and from Indianapolis. Okay, mm-hmm. And Roquan was a better than either of those guys, in my opinion.
Agree.
I just think that Ryan Poles wants to build this whole thing under his name. Now he goes out. Now Montez Sweat was a great signing. I'll give him that. At first I didn't like it, but I really do now. Obviously Claypool was a bust. Okay. But he wants to build up this entire roster. He doesn't, you know, Jalen Johnson needed to be paid before Montez Sweat was signed and signed that big deal. In my opinion, you got to take care of your own family first. But Ryan Poles came in the middle, tore the whole team down, got rid of some dead weight. He had to get rid of Cleo Mack, got rid of all those other guys, which I was all for. But I don't understand. I think he wants to get rid of Fields. I think Fields could have a really productive year, and I still think he would consider getting rid of him only because it's like I'll just hang up and listen, but I think he wants to build this entire roster under his name.
Yeah, he wants his guys.
Thank you for my call.
Appreciate your call. He wants his fingerprints, his stamp on this roster. That's been clear from day. Now, look, there was some house cleaning that needed to be done. And I laid the whole case out on Wednesday when I went through all the teams that changed coaches and GMs before the 2022 season. The teams that have been successful, and especially the two teams with young quarterbacks on rookie contracts, what they did when they came in was they assessed the roster and they went, okay, these guys who we have here can help us win. They can work. They can fit into what we're trying to do. These guys, we got to clear out. Ryan Poles had no interest in doing that. Ryan Poles just came in and was like, we're clearing everybody out, and I want only my guys in the building. Really, only Justin Fields is left when you look at this roster and major pieces that were on it when Ryan Poles came in. And to me, that's an ego thing, man. That's not like a level-headed assessment and taking what you think is the most prudent course. That's just your ego talking. That's just you coming in and going, nah, the last guy didn't know what he was doing at all. And look, Ryan Pace didn't know what he was doing, but I wouldn't put the at all on the back end of it. Everybody gets some right and some wrong. Ryan Pace got a few right. And I think that Ryan Poles came in and showed those guys the door purely almost out of ego. And one of the new guys that he brought in was Matt Eberflus, who I didn't know until today. Tyler, did you know until today that he was a master of the nickname? Did you have any idea that
Matt? I had no idea he's the man of nicknames.
This was on the Bears' Instagram account yesterday, Matt Eberflus, before the game last Sunday.
All right, Mako. Let's go, man. Let's go. Spidey. Hey, man. Every play's your play to make. Yes, you know that? Let's go. Dragon Slayer. Woo! There he is, man. Let's get it. Let's get it. Bojack, let's go, man. Every play's your play now. Smitty, let's go, man. Every play's your play now. Sandman, you got it now.
Okay, all right.
Let's get it.
I think I get the idea. We can kill it right there. So I wanted to play a little game because a lot of those nicknames I had never heard, and quite frankly, they don't make a lot of sense to me. So we're going to play the nickname game. I don't know who those names were assigned to. Tyler Buterbaugh does because he watched the video closely and then edited out, isolated each name one by one. Now he's going to play them for me and for you, and I can guess and you can guess in your car or if you're at home listening at 670thescore.com and you're in your office on the Odyssey app. Try and guess who the nickname belongs to. It's the Matt Eberflus nickname game. What do we got first, Tyler?
Dragon Slayer. There he is, man. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Dragon Slayer? That's got to be somebody on the defensive side of the ball. Shot in the dark. TJ Edwards. Is TJ Edwards Dragon Slayer? Tyler, damn it. Who's Dragon Slayer?
Jalen Johnson.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think that would have been him.
I would just go with a double J. You know what I mean?
if I was giving him a or JJ?
Or JJ, yeah. Either one works, but I guess he's Dragon Slayer. Who's next?
Let's go, Predator. Let's go, man. Let's get it.
Predator. Okay, I'm going to guess somebody who's got the dreadlocks, because the Predator had kind of a dreadlock thing going on. Tremaine Edmonds. Hey, all right, okay. Tremaine Edmonds is the Predator. Who's next up, Tyler?
Hey, Dino Dex, let's go, man.
What was that? Can you play that again? I didn't even hear
Dino Dex, let's go, man.
What is he saying?
Dino Dex.
Dino Dex? I don't even know what that means. Is that Dominique Robinson? Is he the... I just went with a guy. Who is it? I just went with a guy whose name started with D.
Jervon Dexter.
Okay. Yeah. Dino Dex. All right. I was looking for... Okay. That makes sense. Do we have another one?
Juggernaut. Let's go, man.
That's the best one. I gotta say, as somebody who grew up reading comic books, Juggernaut is the absolute best. And Juggernaut has to be somebody who's kind of stout. Do you know Juggernaut, the comic book character, Tyler? It's like a really,
Briefly, really
stout dude. Like, he's like one of those no-neck guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm thinking offensive or defensive line has got to be a Juggernaut. Give me Cody Whitehair. He's kind of built like a Juggernaut. Damn it. Who was it?
Billings.
Okay, that actually makes sense. Looking at him, that actually
After
makes
I saw
sense.
It took me a while to see who the heck he was talking about, and I had to see. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
And do we have one more?
Let's go, Bay. Hey, Bay, let's go, man.
That's weird.
You got it now.
Wait. Wait, what? He's calling. He's,
let's
not,
go, Bay.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, to quote the great Jerry Seinfeld, but is he calling another grown man Bay? Is that what I just
heard? That is unfortunately correct.
Okay. I don't even want to guess. I don't even want to guess who that might be. Who is that?
Tyson Bagent.
Okay,
that makes sense.
That does make sense.
It's still weird.
It's still weird. By the way, did you know? I had no idea. A girl I dated years ago filled me in on this. She called me Bay, and I didn't know what it meant. Before anyone else. It's actually an acronym. I always thought it was like short for babe or baby.
That's what I would have thought.
Before anyone else. It's an acronym.
Huh.
You learn something here on 670.
Yeah, right?
Do we know who the governor is?
We do.
Who is that?
Roshan Johnson.
Why is he the governor?
That one made no sense to me.
What? A lot of guys get that nickname of the governor, and usually it's like Sean Casey was a governor. Who was the guy that played for the Bulls, and he went on to become a coach? Oh, man. I'm drawing a complete blank right now, but he also was a governor, and it's usually like a very, like everyone likes him. You know what I mean? Like the buddy guy. They walk around. They shake everybody's hands. Everybody knows him. Everybody likes him.
You talking about Doug Collins?
No. Blonde guy. He was the Bulls head coach for a minute, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, man. This is going to drive me
not
crazy.
Not Fred Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg.
Oh, it was.
Yes,
okay.
Fred Hoiberg was the governor. Or maybe he was the mayor. One of the two. Same thing, though. It's like everybody's best friend. You know what I mean? The guy who's always walking around glad-handing people. Hey, ho, hey, hey. That guy's usually the governor. Like, the guy everybody likes. He's usually the governor or the mayor. I don't know, man. The whole thing was awkward. They talked about it today on Bernstein and Holmes. And, like, the whole thing was just weird. His pronunciation of the word man.
Hey, man.
It's very forced. That's not how you talk, Matt Eberflus. I don't think. Is he from the South? I don't think he's from the South. Where's Matt Eberflus from?
I don't even. No, he's definitely not from the South.
He doesn't talk like that. What? Please, can we get a head coach? Can we please get a head coach?
He's from Toledo, Ohio.
Nobody says, let's go, man. Nobody says that in Toledo, Ohio, to my knowledge. I've never been. But I don't think people in Toledo, Ohio have that affect, if you will.
Not that I can think of. They're as Midwestern as us.
He's just so weird and awkward. A great defensive mind, I'm sure. But some guys are just not. Like I said before, you need like some charisma. You need some genius, you know, for guys to want to follow you. And I don't see either one for Matt Eberflus, quite frankly.
He's just awkward.
He is. He's just an awkward. And hey, guess what? I'm an awkward dude. I'm also not trying to be a head coach in the NFL or get 53 men to follow me. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
It takes a certain type of man. I'm not it, and neither is he. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll get the Atlanta side of things. Carlos Medina of Extra 106.3 FM and the Fan 680 down there. He'll join me next on 670 The Score.
I got nicknames for you guys, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.